All right, it looks like we're going to get started on time. Pretty light audience today, which I actually kind of expected that, this being our big Microsoft conference, not a whole lot of non-traditional Microsoft developers here. But thanks for those who came. So today we're going to be here and talk about adding value to Java and Node.js development on Azure. My name is Steve Walker. I'm a senior marketing manager. I'm actually leading our open source community efforts. So I will spend most of my time not at Microsoft conferences, but working with our DX field and going out into meetups for non-traditional or what we call our adjacent communities. There's my email address and my Twitter handle. Feel free to yell at me on either one of those if you have follow-up questions, and we'll have some more contact information at the end. So first, we'll talk a little bit about Open at Microsoft. You know, it is a brave new world of this cloud that our customers don't just run our stuff. They run everybody else's stuff, too. They've got their own development that they've been supporting for years, and we want our cloud to be a first-class citizen for their apps. So we'll talk quite a lot about the investments that we've made for Java developers, both in Azure and as well as in our DevDiv or our tooling teams. And then we'll talk about node development and Azure. And then we'll talk a little bit about community engagement. So a little bit about myself. I actually have only been in this role for about, I think, about 6 months now. This is my first marketing role. I was in office engineering before this, so office developer patterns and practices. Myself and Vesa Yuvonen, we actually started that internally and then grew a big community around it. And worked with the community as we release new features, take their feedback, take it to engineering, work with engineering, figure out what we needed to build. Once we built it, work with the community to make sure that we have good samples, and that kind of vicious cycle that you get into with the community. So they really liked that, and they said, hey, Steve, can you come and do something similar for our open source developers? I've been a Microsoft developer for, you know, a number of years, but prior to coming to Microsoft, I actually did do Java development and, you know, lots of other JavaScript and other development before that. So get to learn some new tech, and things have moved along quite a bit. All right, so first, we are an open cloud. I mean, you can bring your, you know, whatever OS you want, whatever frameworks, whatever data sources. You can see that we support a lot of things at the infrastructure level that people would say, oh, wow, I had no idea. Java apps and tools, so you've got your tools, you know, you use Eclipse or IntelliJ or, you know, WebLogic, any of those things. DevOps, you know, a whole stack of DevOps tools that can be used there, and then databases and middleware. So as you can tell, none of those are Microsoft products, and they all run great in our cloud. So, and keeping with that theme, it's actually kind of interesting. We actually use Java internally. So HD Insight, Azure Search, those things have components, huge components of them that were built in Java or run Java. Same thing for Node.js. We're actually in the office division building some things that we're going to be announcing soon that are actually built with Node.js. And so we have our own teams building things on these technologies so that they can see how best to improve our cloud services. But we obviously want to see feedback from outside. And so that's pretty much my entire job, is to go out, engage those communities, figure out, show them what we can do, educate them, figure out what we need to do more, and then bring that back to engineering and work with them to build those. Interesting stat, 1 in 3 Linux VMs, 1 in 3 VMs in Azure is Linux already. And so that's been growing quite greatly. And you can see that Java is actually, in our docs, the second most popular thing after .NET. So we're seeing a lot of uptake, people looking for information about Java on Azure. And we're seeing a pretty big uptake there. For a little while, we didn't see much of it. But now, as we've started to go out and work with these big companies that already have this existing infrastructure or existing applications, then, you know, we want them to come to our cloud. We need to be able to work with them and run those apps up there as well. So specifically, you know, this is the thing I get a lot when I talk about running Java on Azure, that question mark look on their face. What? You can do that? Yes, you can do that. And here's a bunch of customers. These are actually public. There's case studies on our Microsoft properties for each one of these customers. And there's many, many, many more that aren't actually publicly referenceable, but we've been working with quite a number of customers running some very, very large workloads in Azure. So we have just recently revamped our Java Dev Center. So one of the most common pieces of complaint that we got from folks was, hey, I can't find the information, you know. I asked support and they pointed me to an article, I did this, I did that, you know. The information's there, but we just couldn't find it. And so we've invested in cleaning up our developer centers. And then I actually got short name URLs for these technologies, so azure.com/java. So easy enough. If you're going out into a customer and, you know, they're asking questions about it and you've got a Java developer that's asking you, you can send them there and they can look at this page. And I'll actually pull it up real quick. Just show you guys a little bit about what's on there. There you go. So code, you know, we talk about Eclipse, what the different pieces are there, IntelliJ, if you're using IntelliJ. Here's our links to our SDKs and samples. We've got reference information for various different services. So there's samples, libraries, POMs, Java docs. And then for deployment, you've got Linux on Azure, Windows on Azure, Azure Container Service, if you haven't heard of it. And then our web apps. And we'll talk a little bit more about those here in a little bit. And then we've got some kind of pre-canned Java stacks on Azure. So templates that make it very, very easy to spin up common stacks that people use as VM and, images. And then also automate, so continuous integration. You know, we have a command line that works across Linux, Mac, and Windows. And then there's other deployment tools that you can use there as well. And then we talk about scale, so information about virtual machine scale sets, you know, geo-routing, how do I do traffic management, load balancing, if I'm a Java developer, web app, so on and so forth. So pretty interesting stuff, and we look to continue to add to that page and make it a little more alive, you know, bring some of the customer evidence and blogs and things of that nature onto that page. So azure.microsoft.com/downloads, that's where you'll go to get our SDKs. You'll notice you got .NET, Java, Node, PHP. So one thing to call out, you know, I am focused right now, initially, on Java and Node. Java, because it has a large footprint in a lot of these enterprises, right? And we saw, you know, here's how much Java is in the typical enterprise, here's how much is in Azure, so big delta, and we wanted to make sure that we could close that gap and that people felt comfortable, so we picked Java to focus on first. And then Node, because we're seeing a lot of Node development. In app service, it was number three. Already without us doing a whole lot of investment. And so we're seeing a lot more uptake for Node.js. And so that's why we picked those two. But you can expect us to do these similar types of investments for PHP, for Python, you know, so on and so forth. You can't boil the ocean at once, so we decided to pick a couple and then streamline through, make sure the websites are great, make sure we've got good information, make sure we've got the right people in the right seats. And we actually have engineering teams now. For those of you who have been working with Azure for a little while, it can sometimes feel kind of siloed, right? You've got this service, you know, the storage guys do things this way, and then the container guys are doing things this way, and you know, things can not can feel like it's maybe not as at parity across. And so now we've actually spun up teams that look at the experience of a particular developer, right? You develop in Java, you develop in Node. And then looks at all the cracks and seams, looks at, you know, hey, this isn't in the SDK, and works with the engineering team to make sure that they get it in the SDK, things like that. So that way we're looking holistically at it from the developer's perspective. So that's pretty exciting, and we're starting to see the fruits of that effort to pop out now. We've got a lot of code samples, so this is our code samples page. I won't flip out and just show you on the web. You can do it yourself. If you just go to resources, code samples, you can type Java in there. You can, you know, as we add new samples, they'll show up in that site. Same thing, Node, PHP, etc. If you don't see a sample for what you want, I'll talk a little bit at the end about different ways that you could tell us, hey, I need this, or I've got this feedback. So, and we are listening. You know, we stood up a team that's supposed to be thinking about the experience for these developers. They're hungry for feedback right now. So this is a really good window if you've got ideas for things that we could do to make things better. It's a really good window of time to engage with us. So azure.github.com, which actually goes to github.io, I think. You can see there's a lot of resources there for Java. You know, you can see the Azure Management SDK, storage, DocumentDB, our IoT hub. So there's an entire Java component of that. The Hadoop connector for DocumentDB, notification hubs, and there's more. So good place to jump off and get reference implementation as well. And let's think about our options when we're deploying in Azure, right? So over on the left, I've got IaaS. Over on the right, I've got PaaS. And then you kind of move up that stack. So obviously, on the IaaS side, on the left-hand side, you bring your Java. So you bring your own images, you bring your own builds, you bring your own everything. You can run that in Azure, right? You can assemble the pieces yourself. You can use VM extensions and containers to kind of automate everything. That's moving a little bit to the right. You got VM scale sets, which are elastic and declarative. So that moves a little bit more to the right. And then all the way to the right, we support Cloud Foundry on Azure, container services, we've got Service Fabric. So there's a lot of options there to help you scale and not manage all that infrastructure yourself. Okay, and we'll dig a little bit into those as we go on. So with VMs, there's a lot of different ways to get started. First, there's the marketplace, which is actually pretty interesting, because then you can just go into the marketplace, and I'll actually show that to you. So if I come in here to the new, and I search for Java in the marketplace, you can see I've got this coffee shop app. That's actually a web and mobile app. That's a template that we built to kind of show here's some different components all as one template, and it's web and mobile. You know, you can see Bitnami's got a few different templates in there for different VMs. There's a WebSphere application server base, you know, Apache Tomcat 8, right? So I can just click one of those. I can say create. I can give it a little bit of information. What my app name is, what subscription I want, what resource group I want it with, and boom, create, and I can have Apache Tomcat 8 up and running. So we really did work to try to make that as easy as possible. There are community templates available as well, and then you can always bring your own image. So you can just create a VHD, upload that into Azure, and then use that as a base to build on. So I showed you the marketplace, helps you kind of accelerate getting started. If you just wanted to see what things looked like and not have to go through and figure out how to configure it all yourself, you can start from one of those and kind of deconstruct it. One of the things I like to do if I'm demoing to a customer about Java is I'll use that Java Coffee Shop app. I'll actually provision off of that template, and then you can go in there and you can show them how it's set up in the different pieces, and then you could actually tweak it and then export it as a template so that you could show them how you could start from one of these and then end up with your own template at the end. So, when we look at provisioning, obviously you can use the Azure portal. Everybody loves pointing and clicking. We've got the Azure CLI, which is our cross-platform command line interface. So you can everything that you can do in that portal as relates to this, you know, you can actually go and provision those things using the CLI. And then ARM templates, which is actually where I think everybody should be pointing and going outside of just demoware. A lot of times I'll use the portal to set something up, configure it, and then I'll export it as an ARM template so that I can do that later on. I do a lot of EBCs where we go talk to customers at our executive briefing center, and that comes in very, very handy when you want to customize it for a customer and then give it to the sales team. So when we think about Azure Resource Manager, these Azure templates can ensure IDM impotency. They can simplify orchestration, simplify rollback, right? These things are all one transaction, so to speak. I use that word loosely. You can also provide cross-resource configuration and update, so that if you've got dependencies between your different resources, after one provisions, you can get some information from it. You can use that to configure one of the other resources. The other great thing about Azure templates are their source files, so they can be checked in, and they specify all the resources and dependencies, connections, all that good stuff, and they support parameterized input and output. So you saw how it asked me for a few questions when I was provisioning something out of the marketplace. You can do that yourself. So maybe you've got dev teams, and you guys use, you know, a given setup for your developers, but then the developers can customize it, you know, maybe put their name in it or whatever, so it indicates it's theirs. You can support those parameters in there. So pretty cool stuff. We've got a lot of quick start templates. So if you go out there to our quick start templates page, you can just search for, you know, Tomcat, and it'll show you all the Tomcat quick start templates. There's quite a few of them out there that are Java, Node, mean stack kind of based. So, and then once you go to configure one, it'll just ask you for the parameters, what subscription you want to put it in, what resource group, etc. Okay. So we've made quite a bit of investment on our SDKs for Java. So you can see that pretty much all the services that you would want are there. There are a few that aren't there yet, namely our intelligence services or our cognitive services, as we used to call them. But those are coming very, very soon. They're actually already checked into the API spec, and within, I think, the next week or 2 weeks, they'll be into the main SDKs. That's another thing that's actually been really, really cool to watch is our engineering teams actually working on GitHub. So, you know, I would go to, you know, the right internal source repository. I would try to look at what they were doing, you know, and do that translation. Or I would have customers ask me, hey, where's this fix or where's this feature? And you have to kind of go look through the pipe and see where it's at. This stuff, all the SDK stuff's on GitHub. So if you have things you want to ask for, things that are missing, things that you know, want to get updates on, you can just go on GitHub and open issues. The team's very, very responsive. So we also have the Azure Toolkit for Eclipse and for IntelliJ. So it's not just for Visual Studio anymore. There's a lot of things that you can do now from within Eclipse or IntelliJ if you're doing Java development. So you can come in and you can actually deploy JDKs, you know, deploy your, you know, to a custom download. You can use our pre-canned ones. You can deploy it to an Azure Web App container, all of those things straight from the IDE. So some more examples there. You can see Azure published to an Azure Web App. Give it some configuration information. Boom, it'll deploy it. Same thing for publishing to ACS, Azure Cloud Service. Right? So those are pretty handy. A lot of people don't know those exist. So if you're working with a customer or you are a Java developer, I highly recommend you check those out. You can see also the configuration information afterwards there. You know, I've got an entire, you know, server configuration there. I want to deploy that type. I've got a third-party server available. You know, boom, there it goes. I can tell it what storage account I want to use for the VHDs and so on and so forth. We also have, this is actually something that's pretty cool, so if you use MongoDB in your development, we actually have wire protocol support. You can use DocumentDB in the background and not have to change your app. So if your app already uses MongoDB, you can just point it to DocumentDB. You know, obviously you could stand up MongoDB yourself if you'd like in VMs, and you could manage that yourself. Or you could just use our service and not have to worry about patching those boxes. So, you know, app service, web apps, and you know, DocumentDB actually makes a pretty good solution, and you don't have to worry about patching those boxes. So that's a pretty big advantage. And then you can also do REST over HTTP. So if you don't want to use the wire protocol, you can still use that. We have also not only just produced plugins for Eclipse, we've also joined the Eclipse Foundation. So both the Eclipse Foundation, and we're also part of the Node. I don't think it's called the Node Foundation. I can't remember the name now. But the working group there that actually stewards Node, and we've been doing a lot of work with them over the last year and a half, 2 years. We even have a build of it that's forked out there that uses our Chakra engine instead of Google's V8. So that's kind of interesting to see how they're going to abstract that away and take that dependency, but we'll see how that goes. Another really interesting thing for Java developers, if you're using Jenkins, Jenkins actually decided to put their infrastructure in Azure. So they had a lot of problems, you know, different cloud providers in different regions, things of that nature, and they thought, well, let's just simplify, let's just use Azure. So when you're using Jenkins, the service in the cloud, that is all running on Azure. So I thought that was a pretty big win for us to get them convinced that Azure was the right answer for them. So. And we do have Jenkins plugins. So there's an Azure Storage plugin for Jenkins. You can easily deploy artifacts to Azure Storage. There's also a Slave plugin for Azure. So you can do Azure Cloud profile configuration. You can, you know, define your subscription info and deploy and manage Azure slaves. You can also do template configuration. Slave templates tell Azure what type of Azure slave to deploy, and you can use Windows or Linux. So these don't just have to be Windows machines. And you can see there, I was showing the plugins there. So you can tell it your client ID, your secret, your token endpoint, and how many virtual machines you want to limit it to, because you need to control your cost. Obviously, you don't want to just let it scale out infinitely. And then you can define your virtual machine template. So you can tell it what storage account, what your VM size you want to use, what region do you want to deploy it to, so on and so forth. And you can do that all straight within Jenkins. And then we have a Jenkins ACS plugin. So you can give it that information, tell it how many, you know, what size of VMs you want, and, you know, how many masters do you want. You know, obviously you need more if you're going to be redundant, and then it'll actually take care of managing that for you. So pretty powerful stuff. And then we have the Azure IoT Hub for Java. So we've got a lot of customers who actually use Java in the back end and things of that nature, and we actually have, you know, a reference architecture for doing that with a Java application. So all of this information's up on, if you just go to azure.com/java, scroll down, you'll see the IoT link over there. That's been a pretty one that a lot of customers were pretty interested in. So, and then something that people don't think about. So if you're you're going out into a customer, and you know, they've got a build and deployment system for their .NET guys, right? They probably use Visual Studio, probably use Team Services, something like that. And then you've got your Java guys over here doing something different. Don't discount the possibility to streamline things and reduce their overall costs by reducing the amount of build deployment infrastructure that they actually need by just using one. So you can actually do build, deploy, load test, release management, all of that for Java apps in Visual Studio. So do source control, all of those things, just straight from Eclipse or from IntelliJ. The Java developers, they're just checking in code, right? Doesn't really matter to them, but then they end up with one build and deployment pipeline on the backside. So we've seen a lot of customers that, oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that. So there's different ways that you can engage with folks and talk to them about our services. And then we also have Application Insights for Java. I've actually shown this to a couple of different customers, and they were just very, very intrigued. So it gives you visibility into how your applications are performing, you know, various sources of telemetry. But basically, you can instrument Java web apps with Application Insights without making any code changes. You can just edit the Application Insights XML and then put an instrumentation key in there, which is actually kind of interesting. So there's some deeper integration that you can do there. Obviously, if you do want to change code, you can have it pump information out to Application Insights, but without changing anything, it'll actually collect a lot of that data and kind of give you some insight into how that web application is actually running. So, all right, so let's talk a little bit about Node and Azure. So just like we had the Java Dev Center, we've just recently released a Node Dev Center. Sorry, my machine went to sleep. And here's our Node Developer Center. So make it very easy at the top. Just create a Node.js web app. You click that, you go through a few hoops, and it explains to you how to get things set up. So if you want to point somebody that's a Node developer there, you know, azure.com/node. And then we dive a little bit deeper. We start talking about how to create, you know, how to launch a VM. You know, so if you don't want to just use a web app, if you have some reason that you need to use an actual virtual machine, you can do that as well. And then we've got Azure web and mobile app tutorials over here. You know, you got a sales app, blah, blah, blah. There's also links to the CLI and the Azure SDK itself. So right now, the SDK for Node is, just like I said before, in the Java side, is missing a few things, primarily our cognitive services. There's a couple other services as well. But those are landing very, very soon, so I'm pretty excited about that. And then we've got a bunch of pre-configured Node.js stacks on Azure, so just straight one-click Node.js. You got a mean stack if you want to install that, you know, mean.io.app, so on and so forth. If there's other ones that we need, you know, we'd obviously consider putting those in there as well. And then we've got some reference information. We'll be updating this bottom part as new services come into the SDK, but similar to the Java one, then you can see how do you scale these things with app service or virtual machine scale sets, right? So all that's just straight from that same page. I think that's a whole lot better than what we had before, which was a little bit of Node content sprinkled here and there and everywhere around our sites and our samples. So at least now when somebody engages you and says, hey, I'm a Node developer, what about Azure? Azure.com/node. So easy enough to remember. All right. So again, if you want the SDK, go to azure.microsoft.com/downloads. I tried to get a short URL for that before the conference. Didn't get it in time, so hopefully that thing will land here soon. I was just going to do azure.com/downloads. Same thing with the code samples. So there's actually even more code samples for Node than there are for Java right now. So there's like over 50, I think I took that screenshot yesterday, so, and more coming, so. Same thing about azure.github.com, so good resource. If you want to go a little bit deeper, you can get straight into the docs and the getting started. Those links to those docs there, the interesting thing is, just like our SDKs are out on GitHub, all of our docs for azure.com and for all of these are out on GitHub as well. And so if you want to potentially submit an article or correct an article or add something to an article, those things are, you can do that all just by submitting a pull request into those documentation repos, which was actually pretty cool. That's the way we did Office Developer Patterns and Practices. It was really hard for our content developers to get their heads around it, but once we kind of got them used to it, then it just really accelerates how fast we can get documentation out there. So. Quite often, you know, years ago, we would land a feature and then it would be, if there wasn't a conference or some forcing function, then it would be, you know, on down the road before we'd start to get our documentation out the door. So things are going a lot quicker nowadays. We need to be able to just let the community tell us what they need, and we take pull requests. So very similar look at the SDKs for Node. Interestingly, we use the same process to build the SDKs for each one of these platforms. So all of them have Swagger definitions. They're all generated with AutoREST, you know, dot, dot, dot. So when one, now, it wasn't always this way, but now when something gets added into one of them, then eventually it goes into all of them. So that's actually a vast improvement. You will stop seeing all that drift and delta between the different SDKs, which I think is really, really good. So, now, I went through all that. Now I'm actually going to take some time and show you guys how to do a few things with Node on Azure. So first, we're going to start here. No, I don't want to send feedback. Get rid of these things. So I have one that's pre-configured, but I'm going to go ahead and actually show you guys what I'm going to do here. So I'm going to say I want a new web and mobile. We're going to create a web API, So what we want to do is just have a very simple web API, you know, contact list, right? So I want to be able to have a list of contacts, and I want to be able to get a contact by ID. So pretty simple. I'm going to do an API app. We're going to call this Ignite Your Node Again. I already have one that's up. So, and then I create that. And then that submits for the deployment, and then it'll take a minute, but it'll go ahead and get that deployed. It's usually fairly straightforward, fairly quick. You can do this through the command line interface as well, so you don't have to do it through the portal. You can automate these things. There are instances where I've seen customers want to do that. You know, they onboard a new customer. I worked with, so when I was still in office extensibility, I worked with a lot of ISV and partners, and, you know, obviously they want to have multi-tenant as their kind of goal, but some of them would have, you know, maybe a single tenant, you know, VM-based or website-based solution for each one of their customers. And then rather than actually managing machines, what they would do is when they would onboard a new customer, they would just use the CLI in the back to go create this, you know, provision all the stuff for the customer and set it up for them. So it can all be automated and deployed. All right, so my deployment has succeeded. You can see that here. All right. So now I should have F5. Wait. See all resources. Ignite your node again. So I'm going to click on that. And there's a couple of different things that you're going to want to do. So what I want to be able to do is I want to be able to hook, I want to do continuous deployment so that when I'm doing development on my app locally, that I will be able to make changes, submit them, and then push that up to Azure. Okay? So all from my development machine. So what I'm going to do here, you can see that I have a URL. That's going to be my website, right? But I want to go down to deployment credentials, and I want to put in my deployment credentials. And I'm just going to use this okay, save that. So now I know what my deployment credentials are. I'll look at my deployment options. And I choose my source. And so I want to tell it is, I want to deploy from a local Git repository. Okay? Okay. So then what that does is it actually sets a Git repository up in the cloud for you to use. And, okay. Good. So now if I go back in there, and I go to my deployment options. Come on, Azure. Oh, wait. Wait, it's in the overview. That's what it was. Git clone URL. So right now, you can tell that it populated that. Right? So that's my, I clicked a copy, and I can use that to actually do my Git deployments. All right, so I'm going to flip over and show you a little simple app that I've got. So it's very, very simple. It's basically, I've got a swagger.json file. I used, I auto-genned off of the Swagger definition, the rest of this project, which was actually kind of cool. There's some instructions on the website. I won't go into all that because that actually just sits here and takes time, and you're going to sit there and watch my screen spin, so I've already done that. But you can see I have a pretty simple service. I have ID. I have contact.js, which actually returns me a list of contacts. Okay, and then I have ID contacts ID.js, which actually returns me one contact by ID. Okay, so from that, I'm just going to run it local. So I'm going to say node server.js. So that'll start running locally now. Okay. So now I should be able to just hit localhost 8000 contacts. And you can see it's giving me back a JSON file with a list of contacts. So my service is actually running locally. Okay. And another interesting thing, if you use Swagger, which I actually really love this, you just go to whack docs. So you go to wherever you're running your Node app, and you put whack docs on there, if you autogen this with Swagger. And you can see that I can explore my service. So here's contacts. I can say I want to get contacts. You know, here's what the response value looks like. Here's what the content type is. If I click try it out, it actually makes the call. And you can see it returned me 3 records of data, right? And you can see the response headers. Same thing with contacts by ID. You know, I want to give it an ID of 2. Try it out. And I didn't have to write the code for that. So that's pretty cool if you're writing web APIs, Swagger and Node. I actually really liked that. So that's running locally. Well, now I want to actually push that up. So what I will do is break that. I'm going to do a git push Azure master. Actually, you need to do, so I would need to commit. I've already set this one up, but basically what you would do is just do a git add and then a git commit, and then you do a git push. And so what I'm going to do is just go ahead and just do a git push Azure master. And then what that's going to do is it's going to ask for my password because it doesn't know it. And then I'm going to hit enter, and then you can watch it here. It should start the deployment process. And then while that's running in the window, come on. Oh, everything's up to date. All right. And now I'm going to say I want to see it on my Azure website. So if I go to docs here, you can see it looks just like the one that was running locally, right? Okay. So I can try it out. So now I've just created a nice little REST interface to get contacts and get contacts by ID, and I've actually pushed it up into Azure. So if I want to make changes to this, then I can go into, you know, let me just go in and make a little change, save it. And I can either use the command line, which I'll just do that. I'll just do git, and that's fine. Git commit. We'll commit that. I could have done this from the IDE as well, but commit small change to server.js. Okay, that's good. And then do the push again. Put in my password. And as it's going through and doing this, you can go into here. So if I go back to all my resources, actually, wait. Am I going to be able to get there quick enough? Deployment. Then you can see that that was able to push up. So you'll see the status both in the command window and in the portal. So either place that you want to look at it. If you made a whole lot of changes, it'll take a little bit longer. But that's the general flow for it. So your devs can sit there, work, push their changes up into the site. Okay. All right. And with that, Let me see what else I had in my... Yep, we did that before. All right. So that's that. Let me flip back over here. And I want to talk a little bit. So I want to spend a little bit of time with you guys. How many people in here are Java or Node developers? Ah, okay. So about half of us. Out of the folks that didn't raise their hand, how many of you are engaging with open source communities or doing work with customers who are using open source? Only one. Okay, two. All right. There is a lot of opportunity if you're going out and working with customers. I mean, maybe you've always traditionally worked with their development teams on the Microsoft side of the house, and you know, there's this whole other side of the house at a lot of these companies that we typically did not get to go talk to or didn't have a need to go talk to. That's no longer the case. And so if you're in there, you know, working with them, there's a lot of opportunity to cross those boundaries. As I said before, we have spun up a lot of teams internally to look at the experience for these developers, right? That's not going to last forever, right? We're not going to keep dedicated teams of engineers and dedicated, you know, at some point there's a diminishing return to that and those folks will get, you know, kind of moved off and to do other things, right? That's just the way it works. And so this is a great opportunity over the next 6 months to a year to actually give us feedback. Let us know, what do you need? What can we make better? What ideas do you have? What is hard for you? And maybe it's hard on Azure and AWS, or maybe it's hard on Azure and on-prem. That doesn't mean that you couldn't, you know, throw it over the fence and see if there's something that we could do to make it a little bit easier. So if you've got SDK feedback, I've got links there for both the Java and the Node SDK. And as you can tell, if you just go to github.com/Azure and just search for SDK, there's more than that. So there's PHP SDK, you know, so on and so forth. This topic is, you know, specifically for Node and Java, but there's others out there as well. And you got ideas for that, you have issues with that, you don't like something about it, feel free to submit an issue there. The engineering teams are actually being very responsive to that, and you know, used to, I would send emails internally and talk to them. I just do it straight on GitHub anymore. You know, I don't, there's not even a different system internally. You know, there is one, but why use it? I might as well, if nobody else in the community has put it out there, I might as well go out and put it out there, and then other folks in the community can pile on. If you've got general feedback, so maybe it's not about the SDK, maybe it's about the images that we have, maybe it's about tooling, right? You know, those things, there's actually repos for those things as well on GitHub, you know, for the IntelliJ and Eclipse tools. But if you kind of have a case else and you don't really know where to put it, general feedback. So if you go to feedback.azure.com, we've got a user voice there. You just use the general category and then just indicate Node or Java, and then just put the feedback in there. I'm personally watching for that. Also, there's a few folks on our internal engineering teams that are watching for that, and we'll triage those things out to the appropriate place. I know sometimes it's very difficult to say, where do I put it? You know, hey, if somebody comes and says, you know, gives us general feedback for the Node SDK in user voice, you know, you'll probably get a response that says, hey, the best place for this is here, and we'll give you a link to it. So you might get a little bit of that if you use the case else, if you use the general feedback mechanism. But, you know, hey, that's okay. At least you got an answer. And we've been very responsive. And like I said, for this period of time, while we're investing in this, I think it's a really great time to get those things out there and let folks know that what you need. Community support. So we are actually out there on Stack Overflow. So one of the things when I first took this job, you know, it was very evident to me that we're not going to be able to do things like we always did before. You know, before it was, hey, come to the MSDN forums, come to the, you know, Microsoft Technical Network, right? And that's great. If you want to do that, I'm all for it. And you can mention me in there, Steve Walker. If you get jammed up and, you know, I'm in there, happy to hear about those things. But we know everybody lives out on Stack Overflow. And so if you have a problem, you get stuck, you got something you just want to talk about, maybe you don't know if it's feedback, just tag it. You know, if it's Java and Azure, just tag Java and Azure. If it's Node and Azure, just tag Node and Azure. We've got folks paying attention to that. I've got a nice little alert that pops up when something pops up in there. And then on Twitter, So there's the Open at Microsoft, if you just want to let everybody in the world know that you got some feedback. A lot of people follow that thing. But if you get stuck with any of this or you got questions about any of this, I'm going to be very, very open for as long as I possibly can. You can yell at me, Azure Cloud Dev. And for those of you, I don't see too many familiar faces in this room, but for those that knew me from Office Developer Patterns and Practices, even if I can't answer it myself, I'm going to find the right person to get you the answer, and then I'm going to learn, and we're going to make sure that we write that down somewhere in a piece of documentation. So I did a good stint, about 3 years, in our customer advisory team, and I learned that you can one-off answer those questions until you're blue in the face. It's not truly answered until you've got an article out there and somebody can search on the internet and find it, right? That's how we scale. But until we reach that scale point, I really do not mind anybody have issues with this stuff, are interested in you know, participating in our community. You know, yell at me on Twitter and I'll definitely pull you in. We are taking a very, we're taking the same approach with this that we did with Office Developer Patterns and Practices. And the way that we did that was, we built an internal community of folks across engineering, consulting, our evangelism, and support, right? Because all of those things have to work together, right? I don't want somebody in our evangelism team to tell you, oh yeah, you can totally do that, do it this way, and then it turns into a support problem, right? You really have to have that 360 degree view. And so we're at the point where we have built that internal community, and now we're going to look to, this is actually the inaugural time I've come out in public and talked about this. We're going to expand that, and we're looking for folks who want to work with us in that community. We run an open office hours every week. You know, we will have articles that we're publishing. We'll be doing webcasts. We'll be, you know, talking to folks and showing off the work that we're doing in this space. And so it's a really good time to get engaged. It's a really good time to let us know that you do want to participate. I actually love this open source world that we're in. You know, it took us a little while to kind of break people's mental model that we are running a service and consumption is where we get paid. And that's different than shipping software. And so keeping the software bottled up in an internal source control system and never letting it out, you know, that worked well before because that's how we monetized it. But now in this new world, we really need to be open, right? We can't out-innovate everyone in the world. It just will not happen. There will be areas where we innovate, and there'll be areas where we embrace what the community's doing. And hopefully that you're seeing is Azure doing exactly that. So, I mean, a lot of the things we're doing with Azure Container Service, a lot of the things we're doing bringing, you know, Docker containers into Windows, you know, those kinds of things you would have never seen 4 or 5 years ago. So with that, I will obviously, you know, the slide deck will be out there on the site if you guys need any of these links, but I really, really, really do want to hear feedback. This is really the beginning of a journey. I knew when I came in this room, being a Microsoft-friendly audience, that we wouldn't have very many people. I'm going to be working with our, but that's just an opportunity for you, right? You want to have direct feedback to us. You want to have direct conversations with the teams that are building the SDKs, with the teams that are building the services to make it easier for you. This is your opportunity. And so I really strongly encourage everyone who wants to make this a great experience to hold their hand up, you know, at mention me on Twitter, drop me an email, steve.walker@microsoft.com, however you want to get to me. Come up to me afterwards, chat with me. We'll figure this out. We got a Slack channel. There's 900 different ways we can communicate. And so that shouldn't be a problem. But we really do need to hear that feedback. I need to get that to the engineers so that they can come up with solutions for that. For that feedback and figure out how we're going to make things better moving forward. So my mandatory slide, you know, here's our free IT Pro resources for planning your career path, getting started with Azure, demos, and connecting with peers and experts. And there's the links to those things. Okay, that IT Pro Cloud Essentials actually is really getting a lot of adoption. It's $25 a credit for Azure, so that's actually kind of interesting. And a lot of people don't understand that that's out there. If somebody just wants to kick the tires for just a little bit on any of our products, that's a great way to go. And we do have our Microsoft Tech community. So if you want to yell at me in the Microsoft Tech community, feel free, Steve Walker. That's fine. If you want to yell at me on Stack, GitHub, wherever, Just, I want to hear it. I want to hear, what do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Do we need more samples? You know, you're having trouble, you're struggling, whatever. Just reach out to me. And then feedback. I'd love to hear feedback about the session. You know, obviously this being a 200-level session, it's not a really, really deep dive into anything. But I want to hear your feedback. Is there things that we could have done better here? Are there things that you want to see more of in the future? So, with that, I know I'm very, very early, but I'm going to leave the rest of the time open for Q&A. I'll turn it over to the floor for a few minutes if anybody has any questions, comments, rocks to throw. All right, we got one right there. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the provider, okay? But typically, it'll let you know, like when you go to provision the template, if it requires a key, it'll give you a parameter there for that, right? And then you would need to go acquire your own keys and apply that into the template. But any of those that require them, you'll know it very quickly because you'll click on it and you'll say to provision it, and then one of those options would be your key. Make sense? Okay. But the question was for the recording, do all of those templates require a key? Is that up to the provider? Do I have to get my own key? Do we manage the keys? So, yeah. All right, we got another one right there. Yes. So the question is there a way that when we get a new feature, we can see it show up in all the SDKs rather than what we have, you know, before, which is it's always going to show up in .NET first, and then it goes to this one, and goes to that one, goes to that one. The way that we've moved to generating our SDKs is doing exactly that now. But that's actually been very, very recent. So each one of these services defines a Swagger file. We use AutoREST, and then the SDK is actually generated off of that. And so you should start to see that now and moving forward, that you won't have those long deltas from one to the other. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be some things that maybe instead of doing a Swagger file, they just go straight and check something into the .NET SDK, and that's it. But the we've really started cranking on teams that this is the right way to do it, because we need these services in every one of these SDKs as soon as possible when they launch. So happy to hear if you're seeing something different from that as we move forward. So you will see more. So the question was, you know, every time we go to a Microsoft thing or we see a Microsoft demo, all we see is something in C#. Is there any way that we could start to see demos or maybe some options for seeing things in other languages? And the answer is yes. Now, will I tell you that every single presenter is going to give you three or four different versions of his presentation with different technologies? No. But what you will start to see is, like, I'm leading a big effort right now to actually put together really great content for workshops, for all-day workshops, for meetup engagement, so our DX field can go out and engage with you know, Node developers, Java developers, PHP developers out in their meetups, because they don't come to the Microsoft meetups, right? You know, the PHP guys not come to the .NET users group. And so you're going to start to see an investment in more and more of that. So as we have more and more samples and we get more Microsoft people comfortable with these technologies. So that's the second piece, right? We got to have good content, and we got to have people that are comfortable presenting it. I'm working on both of those things right now. And so even at like our executive briefings, we're starting to put together things. So if somebody comes up to one of our executive briefing centers and they want to, you know, they're a Java shop and they want to hear about Azure, it'll actually be in their language and it'll be Java examples. So great. Anyone else? All right. Well, I thank you for your time, and I'll give you a few minutes back. I'll be up here. If anybody wants to come up and chat or throw rocks at me, feel free. So thank you very much.